Jaya Radha Madhava Kunda Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunda Bihari. Gopi jana ballaba hidi bada dhare. Gopi jana ballaba hidi bada dhare. Sudanandana Raja Jana Ranjana Sudanandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tera Manachade Te Rabbanachari Jaya Rana Madhava Kunya Bihari Jaya Rana Madhava Kunya Bihari Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravindacharya Also Tera Sutashi Shimad His Divine Grace of Ayachandanada Bhaktivedanta Gosami Mahashila Prabhupad Ki Jai ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Goti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Paramse Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dvaita Gadadha Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopagopata Sayam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavanam Ki Jai Maturam Kijai, Navadeepam Kijai, Jagannath Swami Kijai, Yamunamai Kijai, Srimati Lasi Devi Kijai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Kijai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bo. All glory is the assembled devotees, all glory is the assembled devotees, all glory is the assembled devotees, all glory is the Shri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Kijai. So before we begin class, I want to welcome all the devotees who are joining us. Radha Vinod from Croatia. Madhava Sangini, I think you know where she's from, Hrishikesh. Shunitamba, Sanjini, Arjuna, Ivan Jalka, and Madhavananda from Europe. And anyway, Raghunath Das Goswami commentary by Bhakti Vinod Thakur. And so what we're going to be doing, it's taken from this very nice book that was just published, actually arranged the publishing by Mother Irmila, and it's available on Amazon.com as a Kindle or whatever if you want to read it. And this book, anyway, we're going to, first of all, read from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's invocation or introduction, and then from the verse, and then each verse and the commentary, there's 12 verses, that's Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary. And then illustrate his commentary by showing you certain slides that illustrate the aspects of his commentary. So, of course, Raghunath Das Goswami, just a little history. He was the most renounced of all the Goswamis of Vrindavan, came from the richest family. He escaped from home to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he spent more time with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu than any of the other Goswamis of Vrindavan. And he was instructed directly by Swarup Damodar Goswami on the internal aspects. Actually, first we should offer basic Prabhupada. Om Magana Timidandasha Gadanjana Shlakaya Chatsur and Meditam Yena Tasmai Sri Gudvaita Mahaprabhu. So he was instructed directly by Surup Damodar Goswami at the behest or instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the internal aspects of Krishna consciousness. And we're going to be speaking a little bit about that, the internal versus the external aspects of Krishna consciousness, and how his path, or the internal path, is the path that we follow in Krishna consciousness. We don't follow so much of the external path, because that would take hours and hours and hours and hours to do, because you say prayers to each deity, basically, and by the time you're finished, it's time to take rest. So, you know, we're a preaching movement, Kali Kalera Dharma Krishna Nam Sankirtan, and our business is to have good sadhana, of course, but preach Krishna consciousness, and according to the instructions of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that will lead us to the perfectional stage, rather than sitting down doing nirjan bhajan for 18 hours or 19 hours a day. So, okay, so we're going to start reading Bhaktivinoda Thakur's invocation. I'm going to leave out some of the Sanskrit because we don't have a lot of time. Now we have about 45 minutes every morning. And so this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's explanation and invocation before beginning his commentary on the Manashiksha. So to compose this commentary on Manashiksha, I fall at the lotus feet of Sri Raghunath Das Goswami. He is worshipable by the whole world because he displayed how to cut all worldly ties by taking full shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami taught Raghunath Das Goswami all the secrets and mystery of the worship of the name of the Lord, Harinam Bhajan. The 12 shlokas of the Manashiksha are the wealth and life of all Gaudiya Vaishnavas, because Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, by addressing and instructing his own mind, is teaching everyone these same secrets. He reveals what people should or shouldn't do when, after the accumulation of devotional good fortune, they gain faith, shraddha, in the devotional service for Sri Krishna. So as I mentioned, there's 12 verses, and these are prayers or instructions to the mind. Because as Krishna says in the Gita, the mind is our best friend, if it's controlled, and if it's uncontrolled, it's our worst enemy. So, and of course, the whole point of Krishna consciousness is to be Krishna conscious. Sounds like a tautology. So, Savaimana Krishna Padaravindiyo. And that's described by Maharaj Ambarish in the Bhagavatam, how he did various activities in order to fix his mind upon Krishna. So, a few more words by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his offering of respects. I offer my respects to the lotus feet of Sri Guru, the moon-like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, the eternal treasure of Braj, Sri Sri Radha and Krishna absorbed in their play, melded into one body. That means Radha and Krishna, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahayanya, and manifested in Bengal along with the timeless abode and the entourage of their eternal associates. O heart, know it to be true by performing congregational chanting of the holy name, Nama Sankirtan and Navadvip, Gaura Hari gave the immortal ambrosia, that's the nectar, of sacred love to Bengal. The same Hari has become the best among the wandering ascetics, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, who lived in Nilachal in the pretext of being a sannyasi, enjoying unsurpassed bliss with Sarup Damodar and Ramananda Roy, exploring deep and intimate mysteries of Krishna's love. Teaching these spiritual truths, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent Raghunath Das Goswami to Rupa in Braj. It was there that Raghunath Das Goswami adored and worshipped Krishna alongside Sri Rupa and wrote this Manashiksha. I, poor Bhaktivinoda, cherishing the intense desire to become a servant of their servants, sing these commentaries on the Manashiksha wherever I find pure devotees. Please be merciful and listen. Okay, now we're going to begin. I'm going to go to the first verse. Whoops. Let's see. And, of course, this is a picture of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu giving Raghunath Das Goswami the Govardhan Shila, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept with him previously and cried over and took to his head. He smelled the Govardhan Shila. So this indicated that Raghunath Das Goswami was getting shelter and a place to live at Govardhan, which he actually physically or externally did later on when he left Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this world. And also he gave him the Gunjamal, which means the association or the service of Srimati Radharani. And this, as I mentioned, this is the book. You're welcome to buy the book. It's available on Amazon.com. And this is called a padati. Padati means basically pada, you know, the feet, or instructions how to follow in the footsteps of Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, or follow in the footsteps of these great devotees to become Krishna conscious. And this Bhaktivinoda Thakur's padati on that is commentary on Raghunath Das Goswami's Manashiksha. And of course, she following in the footsteps of our spiritual master, who was the servant of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So, this is a summary. In the different verses of the Manashiksha, there's different aspects of instructions to us or instructions to our mind. The first three verses are the qualification for the inner path of attraction to Krishna and Vrindavan. That's the basic qualification. The next ones are how to eliminate obstacles, and the obstacles get subtler and subtler. In the beginning, they're pretty gross and easy to see, and then it's harder as you go step by step. And then the last verses are engaging in our eternal service to Krishna in the spiritual worlds. So this is the bona fide process given also by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and to achieve the real nectar in Krishna consciousness. So next slide. So now we're going to start with the first three verses, at verse number one. And you have the verse written there, or you can read here. And I'm just going to chant the verse, because it's a different melody than you're used to. It's actually very similar to the Jagannath Ashtaka melody. You've heard about that melody before? No. Anyone's heard that melody? Yeah. But it'll be harder for you to follow. So I'm just going to chant this, and then I'll read the translation afterwards. Guru Goste Galayeshu Sujane Bursura Gane Swamantre Srinamne Prajanavayuva Dvandva Sharande Sadadambam Hitva Kuru Ratim Apurvam Matitarum Aye Swanta Vraptas Chaturvir Abhiyache Drittapada. Nice melody, actually. And so I guess we'll do the word-by-word synonyms, even though they're not on the slideshow, but they're on the paper I passed out. So, and I'll just read the word-by-word synonyms rather than doing them responsively because of the time factor. Ayeo, brata, brother, swanta, my inner self, my mind, hitwa, having given up, dambam, pride, sada, always, kuru, please do, apurvam, unprecedented, Atitaram, excessive, Ratim, attachment, Gurau, to Sri Guru, Goshte, to the Goshta, the abode of the cows, Vrindavan, Goshta, Layashu, to the devotee residents of the Goshta, Vrindavan, Bhusuragane, to the earthly devotees, that's the Vaishnavas and Brahmanas, Swamantre, to one's confidential mantra, Sri Namni, to Sri Nam, the holy names of the Vrindavan couple, Braja Nava Yuva Dwandva Sharane, in the shelter of the fresh, youthful couple of Braj. Shishi Radhakrishna, Dritapada, holding your feet, Abhiyache, I beg you, Chatubi, using pleasing words. And so the translation is, and you can read it here, O dear brother, O mind, having given up all pride, please develop unprecedented and excessive attachment to Sri Guru, to Sri Vrindavan, the abode of cows, to the devotee residents of Vrindavan, to all the devotees on this planet, to the confidential mantras given by Sri Guru, to the holy names of Sri Sri Radhakrishna, and to the process of surrendering to the fresh, youthful couple of Braj. Holding your feet, I beseech you with sweet words. So we're going to read Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary, and then we'll go on to a further explanation. So this is the meaning of the verse. This is called Shlokartha. A Sri Guru includes both a Diksha Guru and Shiksha Gurus, initiating Guru, instructing Gurus. By this type of attachment, one should develop towards the Guru while serving them is clearly explained in the next verse, the second verse. Goshta means Sri Vrindavan Dham. This includes Gokula, Nandishwara, Govardhan, Shyamakund, Yavat, and all the places of Krishna's pastimes. Goshta Layin, the residents of Braj, those who reside in Brajadham for the purpose of pleasing the Lord through devotional service are called Brajavasi Gana. Brajavasi indicates a pure devotee and elevated Uttama Bhagavat. Such a person resides in Brajadham both physically and in meditation or just in meditation. And Sujana means the Vaishnavas, devotees of the Lord. So the Vaishnavas may belong to any Sampradaya school, because this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's teaching, which he teaches in many other places, such as the Chaitanya Shikshamrita, that we should appreciate the worship of Krishna that is done by anyone in any bona fide religion. Perhaps they may not reside in Brajadham, this is referred to people of other religions or other sampradayas, even in meditation, but still they are bona fide and they are devotees of the Supreme Lord Bhagavan. These are the intermediate Majjhima Adhikari devotees. Bhu Suragana means the brahmanas. These are persons who are teachers, priests, intellectuals, scholars, counselors, or healers, and who are firmly fixed in the scriptural duties for their occupation and life stages, Varnashram Dharma. Such persons also teach the worship of the Lord, Vaishnava Dharma, to all pious persons, Varnashram followers. They are known as juniors or Kanishta Bhagavats. Nourish attachment to the Uttama Bhagavat, whose body and mind live in Brajadham for the purpose of pleasing the Lord. So, Swamantra means one's own Diksha Mantra. Sri Harinam means the primary names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We'll explain that further. Vraja Navayuva Dwandva Kshana means to surrender to the youthful divine couple of Braj. And Dhamba Hitwa means giving up pride, which we'll describe in depth. I'm skipping over some aspects of the commentary because of the time factor. Apurvarati means the love inherent in the soul, which is pure love for the Lord. And Atitaram Kuru means intensive endeavor or making intensive endeavor to please Krishna. And then, let me read his commentary. It's just a one-page commentary. To be eligible to receive the pure instructions in this verse, a person should already have achieved faith or shraddha in the path of loving devotion to Krishna. Such faith comes from the potency of the association of saintly persons, sadhu sangha, manifesting within the heart. Everybody understands that? Faith comes from association with sadhus. That potency diminishes the tendency to perform karma, actions for material gain. When shraddha develops, the first action is to accept and take shelter of an initiating spiritual master, Diksha Guru, as well as the Diksha Mantra to worship Yugala Kishore, the divine couple Sri Sri Radhakrishna. After receiving the mantra, one should worship one's Shiksha and Diksha Gurus with pure devotion and attachment to their lotus feet, Atma Rati. One should not only respect Gurus as saints using rational intelligence, but one should also deal with one's guru as well-wishing friends. I'll explain that later. Also, respect and serve the three types of Vaishnavas, junior, intermediate, and advanced, according to their eligibility with love and in a friendly manner. One should also develop deep attachment to chanting the mantras and serving the holy name. We're going to go over all this with the slides. One should come to the point of complete surrender to the lotus feet of the divine couple, knowing them to be the one's life and soul. This surrender is called Sharanagati. Devotees of Krishna rise above worldly duties, speculative knowledge, and mystic yoga. So that's Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary. So we'll go on to the explanation. So, of course, we have many teachers, Siksha Gurus and Diksha Gurus. For some of us, I think it's just me in this room, was initiated by Prabhupada. It's Prabhupada and others. It's Prabhupada's disciples or grand disciples. And or we have the Vartma Pradarshika Guru, which you see here, right? One who shows us the path. We have different Siksha Gurus who give us certain aspects of devotional service. So with these Diksha Gurus and Siksha Gurus, we should develop attachment for these personalities. Now, that we're not talking about sentimental attachment, like some rock and roll star or Bollywood star or something like that that you would just like tear apart and, you know, and kill to get part of their body. But attachment to serving, that's the real point. And so, and also we should have attachment to the process of surrender and one point of devotion to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. So this is a very interesting statement, one point of devotion. So why is it that we worship other incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? This is an interesting question. So, and why is it that we worship the spiritual master if we have one point of devotion? Well, the answer is that we see all the other incarnations of the Lord as Krishna acting in a particular way. As Jayadev Goswami says in the Gita Govinda, in his famous prayers, you know, the Dasha Avatar prayers, shlokas, Keshavadrita, Narahari Rupa, Keshavadrita, Shukara Rupa, Keshavadrita, Haladaro Rupa, Keshavadrita, Kurma Sharira. So we see Krishna doing all these things. So we understand it's the same Krishna, and that way we can worship all the forms of the Lord, Lord Nrsingadev, Lord Kurma, Matcha, etc. So, and then as far as one point of devotion to Krishna interfering with the devotion of the spiritual master's identity is as a servant of Krishna. So when we talk about one point of devotion, we mean always focusing on Krishna and Vrindavan. For those of us who have that eternal relationship, I mean, sometimes there's members of the Krishna conscious movement who have the relationship of Krishna as Lord Ram, like Murari Gupta, or Balabha, the brother of Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis. So we respect that. But generally, Raghunath Das Goswami is writing for those who are focusing on the service of Sri Sri Radha Krishna and his own particular mood of devotional service. So, and then it's also attachment to all the places in Braj. Here we see the lotus flower of Braj. And, of course, you have Talal, Kalavan Forest, Madhuvan, Mathura, and then Govardhan Hill. And of course, Govardhan Hill is where, or Radhakund is where Raghunath Das Goswami resided. And it was Raghunath Das Goswami who gave the information about Lord Chaitanya's pastimes to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who wrote the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because I mentioned previously, Raghunath Das Goswami resided for a far longer period of time with Lord Chaitanya than any of the other Goswamis of Vrindavan. So Raghunath Das Goswami's place is right near at Radhakund, right near the Manasa Bhavana Ghat. Anyone's been there? You've been there. And his was Bhajan Kutir is there. Bhajan Kutir, and yeah, the Samadhi is close by. But the Bhajan Kutir is there, and it's right next to practically Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's Bhajan Kutir. And the Manasa Bhavana Ghat is on the banks of the Shyamakund, not on the banks of the Radhakund. So we have, should develop attachment to all the places of Braj and all the places of Gupta Vrindavan, which is Srinam Mayapur, Navadvip area. So one should regularly hear about these places, visit the places, and ultimately reside in one's mind at those places. And here we see the Madad Mohan Temple and different aspects of the holy places in Vrindavan. And then we should go, this is in reference to the word Goshta Lion, we should develop attachment to the residents of Vrindavan. Of course, this is the Sangam, between the Radhakund and the Shyamakund. And so those who live in Vrindavan, which is a very interesting explanation, those who live in Vrindavan and mentally are living in Vrindavan, two things are required to be a Brajavasi. To live in Vrindavan or mentally live in Vrindavan, but you can't just live in Vrindavan physically if you're not mentally in Vrindavan. Then you're not like a Brajavasi. Then you're just like seeing Krishna's yogamaya potency, which is covering the holy Dham. And you're not actually perceiving the true holy Dham. So to be a Brajavasi, you either have to be mentally in Vrindavan, you can live here in New Zealand, but you have to be mentally in Vrindavan 24 hours a day, or you have to be physically and mentally. But if you're physically there without mentally, that's not living in Vrindavan, because you are where your mind is. Like if my mind right now was, let's say, in Fiji, even though I appear to be sitting here, I would be in Fiji. And it's not in Fiji right now, thank God. I got enough anxiety without that, yeah. Well, we respect them, though, because they live in Vrindavan. But if so, we can't tell how one is thinking. This should be applied to ourselves. Just like we're very much prone to fault finding. And, you know, but actually the main fault finding that we're supposed to engage in, according to Raghunath Das Goswami, is right here. You know, as we often say, if you point your finger at anyone, 10 fingers come back to point at you. So we don't get into that with the residents of Vrindavan. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says we should accept the residents, the remnants, even of the untouchables in Navadvip. But this is an application to ourselves. This is mana shiksha, prayers to my own mind or instructions to my own mind. So, and then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Sujana, we should have attachment. First, we talked about the Uttama Bhaktas. Uttama Bhakta means those are always attached to Vrindavan, always thinking of Vrindavan, and either living or not living physically in Vrindavan, but at least their minds are always in Vrindavan. And so now these are the intermediate devotees. And this is interesting how Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes the Majjhima Adhikaris, because we find many different descriptions of Majjhima Adhikaris in the Vaishnava literature. Some appear to be quite different than others. Like sometimes we hear an Uttama Adhikari is someone who doesn't preach, someone who is simply absorbed in Radha and Krishna, doesn't distinguish between devotee and non-devotee, sees everybody as a devotee except for himself. That's one explanation. But in this particular case, you know, Uttama, the word Uttama basically means the topmost. Majjhima means middle. And Kanishta means the lower stage or materialistic. So, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in this particular definition of Majjhima, Uttama, and Kanishta, the Majjhimas are those who actually are devotees of God in any tradition or any sampradaya. So here we see the dinner table. There's some Hare Krishna devotees with their nice sikhas. There's another one, another brahmachari. And there's some Muslims, Orthodox Christians, Catholics, Jewish people, too. Maybe not a few of those there, or one of those there. So you see, this is how a devotee is. He makes friendship and attachment to people of any particular religion. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, as I mentioned before in his Chaitanya Shikshamrita, that when we go into a religious ceremony, that is performed by any other religion or any other sampradaya, we should think, this is wonderful. And I was mentioning just recently in Australia that sometimes we have gone into performances of, let's say, this one church called the Hillsong Church in Australia. You've heard of those church? No. They have very nice music. 30,000 people come to their service every Sunday. Big kirtan. And when I go there, you know, I've gone there just once. Then I'll stand up on my feet and, you know, put my arms up, praise the Lord, you know. So I enjoy it. Or sometimes in America, I've gone to some black churches and I like the music in there because they're praising Krishna. And don't worry, I'm not going to become a Christian. That's not my background anyway. you know, that's not definitely not my religious background, but I appreciate they're praising God. And in Bosnia, I stay right next to a mosque. You know, as far away from my room is the minaret, as that altar is for me right now. Of course, that means they wake me up from Mangalarti every morning, you know. And also in the middle of the night, you know, Al Akbar. And it was during Ramadan, which sometimes they stay up all night long reading their scriptures over the loudspeaker. So anyway, so I appreciate it. I wasn't so happy that I was kept awake, but I appreciate it. So we make friendship. Actually, these are our friends. These are called Majjhima Bhaktas, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And the Kanishtas, which is interesting, are those brahmanas and sages who teach Varnashram. It's not that we shouldn't teach Varnashram. I mean, for keeping a society together, we need to teach Varnashram. But those who concentrate exclusively on Varnashram and they teach dedication to God through your work or through Varnashram, following the four Varnas and four Ashrams. And so we also develop attachment for them, understanding they're not at the highest platform, is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining. Then we have attachment for our mantras and those who have second initiation. That's what is being referred to here. That means the Gayatri mantras or mantras given by the spiritual master, specific worship mantras. And so we should develop attachment to that, to those mantras, and perhaps read some of the literature that's available explaining the Gayatri mantras. In our movement, I think Satchinandana Maharaj and others have put together some books explaining the meaning of the different Gayatri mantras. Of course, one should not chant the Gayatri mantras unless they've been given the Gayatri mantras by the spiritual master. The Gayatri mantras help connect one to Krishna and the spiritual master and to the holy names. One can go back to Godhead just by chanting Hare Krishna. So they're not absolutely necessary because we're a Sankirtan movement, but they help one if one is in the mode of goodness. That's the point. To properly chant the Gayatri mantras, you have to be a Brahmin. Brahmin means in the mode of goodness. And Krishna gives many injunctions in the Bhagavad Gita, or instructions as to what the qualities of someone in the mode of goodness are. Your famous verse, Samadhamatabhakshocham. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. So we should have attachment for these mantras. In other words, chant. What does attachment mean? Chant them clearly. Look forward to chanting them. You know, just don't chant them inattentively while you're driving your car. You have your Brahman thread out. You know, it's a little dangerous too. But nowadays people have different ways of chanting. They have these. In the beginning, we had at Joppa. We had these clickers. You know, the sheep counters. You call them here. And now they have these electronic things. You put on one finger and you go. And so maybe they chant. You seen them? Yeah. And so anyway, it's not really the best chanting. And then, of course, attachment to the holy names. We should take shelter of what's called the primary names of God. They're secondary names, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and primary names. Secondary names are names that refer to Krishna in terms of things that he does in the material world, not his pastimes, but let's say Krishna as the creator. That's a secondary name. Creator or God is a secondary name, or Paramatma is a secondary name. So we should be taking shelter. Of course, even the secondary names, they have great potency. But we should be taking shelter of the primary names. Primary names are Krishna, Govinda, Gopal. They refer to him as a person, not to his position. Just like you can say about someone who is the temple president here, you can say temple president, Mr. Temple President, or you can say Kalas. So it's actually more intimate, develops more of a relationship to use his name. I mean, if you walk up to him and say, I mean, actually sometimes when you don't even like someone, you refer to them in terms of their position. Like if you have a child and you're talking to your wife and you're angry with your child, you say your child. You won't say, you know, little Gopal. You'll say, guess what your child did. So it's not so intimate. you know, that's when you're angry. So, attached to the primary names of Krishna, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and this is a hard one, Dambam Hitwa, which means giving up pride. So here we see the method of giving up pride. Actually, Jesus Christ even washed the feet of his followers. If I was free from pride, I would have done that last night. I would have washed everybody's feet, but would have been quite an unusual reception, isn't it, had I done that. You know, would have gone on, you know, Dunderbutts and Facebook and everything like that. So, but you can see that he actually washed his disciples' feet. And here is Krishna, famous story, Sudama Brahman, showing, you know, the proper etiquette in Varnashram society of worshipping the Brahmanas. He is washing Sudama Brahmana's feet. So what does that mean? Amanina manadena. If we want to give up pride, then we have to be ready to offer respects to others. Like, if you just think about pride, you can't give it up. You just think, I'm too proud, I have to give it up. It doesn't work. But the way you give up pride, the methodology, according to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is to serve others. Amanina, be free from pride, by manadena, by serving others. So we should see ourselves as servants. You know, what's your identity? Gopi Bharata Padakamala, Dasa, Dasa, Dasanu Dasa. I'm a servant of the Lord who is the maintainer of the gopis in Vrindavan. And actually, the further removed you are in terms of this Dasa, Dasanu, Dasa, Dasanu Dasa, you know, the more elevated it is. Servant of a 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 servant, they get more elevated. In the material world, everyone wants to have some prestigious position. I remember sometimes you get devotees who join the movement and they refuse to do menial service. They say, I'm too good for this. I was born in a family where my shoes were tied by my servants and my teeth were brushed by a servant. So if you expect me to clean the pots in the kitchen, what to speak of cleaning the toilets, you know, this is not me. You don't understand who I am. So this is our problem. It's a big problem. Okay, so giving up false pride, very, very important. And, of course, it is pride that is going to make us fall. Pride comes before the fall. Here we are, you know, trying to climb up, grab the guru's hand, and then what happens? We're holding on to our pride. Goodbye. We fall down the hill. Very, very interesting slide. So we're going to get to the next verse. I think we have time for the next verse. Yeah. So this is a picture of Brajadam. And you see Nandagram according to Kavi Karnapur. This is a picture of Nandagram according to Kavi Karnapur's description in the Ananda Vrindavan Champu. Beautiful picture. And all these pictures are there in the books. This book, if you buy these books and actually, or get them as a Kindle book, you can see all these pictures. So I'm trying to help her sell the books too. So here's a picture of Krishna playing his flute, and of course the gopis watching from the balcony, you know, just like haggling for the association of Krishna. This is called the Purvarati, love that has no material precedent or no material reason. You know, like a haitukiya pratyata yatna supersedate. You know this verse from Bhagavatam? Savai pumsam paradharma yato bhakti and hoksaje ahoitukiya pratyata yatna supersedate. This supreme dharma, Krishna consciousness, has a no material cause. Everything else we do has a material cause. Whatever we like in the material world, whatever we think is actually caused by our conditioning. You know, you can analyze anybody psychologically and say, you know, why don't you like this food? I mean, I always give the example, why don't I like beets? Because I was conditioned when I was young, my mother would force me to eat beetroot soup. So whenever I see one, I scream. If anyone wants to get rid of me, you just bring a beet in front of me. And I run away. So that's conditioning. But with Krishna consciousness, there's no cause to it. It's just causeless. be service to Krishna. In other words, I'm not serving Krishna because, you know, I was brought up in a particular... I was explaining this yesterday to someone, that, you know, I wasn't brought up in Krishna consciousness. I was brought up in a completely different, I wouldn't say, I guess, spiritual path or understanding or whatever. But I've taken the Krishna consciousness, so there's no material cause. There's Prabhupada's mercy and Krishna's mercy. So ahaituki to apratyata means, ahaituki means there's no cause. It's just causeless spiritual mercy, no material cause. And then apratyata means devotional service is not deterred under any circumstance. Or by this verse, what is it? Tate nukampam sushamikshamana bunjanavatma kritam vipakam vidvag bapurvir vidadam namaste jiveta yo mukti padesadayabak. That a devotee, he takes whatever happens to him, you know, unfortunate things like Queen Kunti, as simply the results of his previous impious activities or bad karma, and he goes on serving Krishna with his mind, body, and words in all circumstances, regardless of what happens. So this is called the purvarati. So this is also, this is another explanation of this verse, making intense endeavor that's enthusiastically to progress in Krishna consciousness. And this is the example, you know, just like be one-pointed instead of like this. And all sorts of vyavasayatmika buddhir, ekeha kuru nandana, and giving up things that are impediments in devotional service. And devotees are above all their activities like mystic yoga, worldly duties, and everything else, and they perform sankirtan, as you see here. Okay, so we'll go on to the second verse. Do we have time? Yeah. Well, we can start the second verse. Okay, second verse. Actually, I'll just read from here. Na dharmam na dharmam shukti gana niruktam gilukuru braje radha krishna prachura parijayam mitatanu sachi shunam mandishvara patti suttatve guru varam mukunda prastatve smara param majasram nanumana. Let me read from here, that'd be easier. So I'm just going to do the translation since we don't have a lot of time. Indeed, do not perform any pious acts prescribed in the Vedas and supporting literature or sinful acts forbidden in them. Sounds like we can't do anything. Staying here in Braj, please perform profuse service to Shri Shri Radha and Krishna. O mind, unceasingly remember the son of Sachi as the son of Nanda Maharaj and Shri Guru as the dearest servant of Lord Mukunda. So it's a quite interesting verse. And I'm going to read Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary on this verse. This verse deals with three doubts. The first doubt concerns how an individual jiva who gives up false pride and takes shelter of Krishna bhakti will earn a living. You know, because you're supposed to give up all acts prescribed in the Vedas, which one of them is you should support your family. So it might appear that no one who gives up dharma and adharma as prescribed in this verse could maintain a livelihood. The second doubt concerns accepting the worship of Sri Sri Radha Krishna, the divine couple, as the ultimate and only object. Such a person needs to understand how to know and regard Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without disturbing his one-pointed worship. The third doubt concerns needing to know the method in which one should meditate on Sri Guru. Answers to all of these are provided below with a proper analysis. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur begins to describe the different words that, like nadharmam, nadharmam, shuti gana, niruktam, kilukuru, do not perform the pious or sinful activities mentioned in the shrutis. And I'm going to summarize when we go through the slides because it's quite a long commentary here. and Sachi, Shunam, Nandisvarapati, Sutape, meditate on Lord Chaitanya, the son of Sachi, as non-different from Lord Krishna, the son of Nanda. And Guru Varam Mukunda Prishtatvaya Smara, meditate on Sri Guru as being the dearest to Mukunda and Krishna. And so these are, he gives a lengthy explanation, which we don't have time to go through, but we'll start our explanation based on his explanation of this verse. So the first thing is, of course, this is the Bhagavad Gita 6.3, which states one who is a neophyte in the eightfold yoga system, work is said to be the means, and for one who is already elevated in yoga, cessation of all material activities is said to be the means. So neophyte here refers to those who are lower on the yoga ladder, you know, like the Hatha yogis or Jnana yogis or something like that. And cessation of work means not that we cease working, but all of our work is dovetailed in the service of Krishna. So now we're going to talk about the first point that Bhaktivinoda Thakur and also Raghunath Das Goswami makes when he gives this statement, Nadharmam, Nadharmam, Shruti, Gana, Niruktam, Kila Kuru. Do not perform sinful or pious activities mentioned in the Shrutis. So this, of course, is in reference to this verse in the Bhagavad Gita, 4:17. Karmano yapi bodhayam, bodhayam cha karmana, akarmanas cha bodhavyam, gahana karmano gatihi. That means one should know properly what action is, what forbidden action is, and what inaction is. So karma means, let's say, pious activities in the Vedic literatures, like performing different sacrifices or being good to people, charitable to people in the mode of goodness. You know, you don't want to do charity in the mode of ignorance. Charity in the mode of ignorance is not prescribed in the Gita, nor is charity in the mode of passion, where you're doing things for some return. So this is called karma. This is a different definition than we usually use for the word karma. You know, when we say someone is a karmi, sometimes we actually mean they're the karmi. But anyway, so karma means work. But in this particular context, it means work according to Vedic injunctions. And vikarma means work, here we see right here, according against the Vedic injunctions. So here's karma, vikarma. So one should perform what we call akarma. Akarma means work that has no reaction. In other words, akarma can mean no work, but it also means work without a reaction, or no material work. Just like we can say about Krishna, he's nirgun. Nirgun means, in one sense, without qualities, but also can mean without material qualities. So sometimes the impersonalists misunderstand, and they think that when we say Krishna, or they say, or the Vedas say Krishna is nirgun, it means that he has no qualities at all. He's just like formless, hopeless, whatever. But Krishna has no material quality. So it depends on the word. So this is what it means to give up pious or activities prescribed in the Vedas and give up activities that are enjoined against in the Vedas, that we do activities to please Krishna. And we do the activities prescribed in the Vedas to please Krishna. Uh-oh. Some musical interlude. Thank you for the musical interlude. I think we'll end with this slide. And this shows that there's a, let's say, a circle of reactions, that every time you perform some karmic reaction, you get a kuta, or an inclination to perform more karmic reactions. That becomes a bija, which is the seed of performing those reactions, and then the reaction is there, and then you get, it's a vicious circle. You can't stop it except by performing Krishna consciousness. So this is the first point that being made by Raghunath Das Goswami in this verse. So I think we have to end now. Any quick questions about anything we said? Yeah.
I have a question about when Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes Madhya Madhikara, and he says that he accepts all the other traditions. And
Yeah. So in terms of Madhya Madhikara is someone who is in a different tradition other than, let's say, Gaudiya Vaishnavism.
So in terms of associating, I mean, the Muslims say, they have certain foodstuffs and then other people have certain foodstuffs.
Yeah, obviously we don't violate our injunctions.
Demigod worshippers, they offer...
No, demigod worshippers are not Madhya Madhikaris.
No.
One who worships the one God, that is not a Madhya Madhikari. And they don't even fall in this particular... They're not even, like Kanishthas. They're outside of this purview, outside of this. Madhya Madhikari is one who worships the one God. They may not know his name, but they know there's a supreme controller who is omniscient, omnipresent, and all good. Does that make sense?
Yes, but then Shiva worshippers, they also say that Lord Shiva is omniscient.
Yes, but they're misunderstanding and not basing it on Shastra. that's the first point. Excuse me. The first point is that whoever is worshiping God must be bona fide, basing on a bona fide Shastra. Like Prabhupada sometimes, when he was talking about the events on chanting, blaspheming Vedic literatures, or literatures in the pursuance of Vedic literatures, he would also mention the Bible or the Quran. So it has to be based on some bona fide Shastra. Now, whether that particular Shastra is bona fide or not is another discussion. But those who worship Lord Shiva, it's described, and thinking he's God, they're described as Pashandis in the Vedic literatures. Pashandis like atheists or outcasts. Yastu Narayanam Devam Brahma Rudra Adidaivata Smit Mayanaiva Viksheta Sapashandi Vavetruvam. So the injunction in the Vedic literatures is one who thinks or equates Brahma or Rudra with Narayan, he's a Pashandi or an atheist. So we don't consider them to be, Majum, Kanishtha, certainly not Uttama. Any other questions? Because we have to get going. We have a tight schedule. So anyway, tomorrow we'll continue. It's an interesting discussion. And we'll continue with the rest of verse 2. It's 12 verses. I'm hoping to finish all the verses this week before we leave. But we may not be able to. But at least we'll get most of the way through. All right, we'd like to thank everybody for joining us. We had 40 people watching us this morning. And more will watch during the day. Actually, very nice. A lot of people are watching or asking questions. We don't have time to take questions from the audience. Actually, what was the name of the Shastra describing the meaning of the Gayatri mantras? Many devotees, Gopika is asking that, many devotees in our movement have written commentaries on the Gayatri mantras, as such as Satchinandana Maharaj. And I don't know the names of those books, but you can look them up on the internet. Okay, all glorious.